I was there. I don't have to listen to it.
This week's show because it was a disaster.
When you live in a beach resort, it's easy to forget whether you are playing or working. On each week's show, we settle in with a cocktail and try to figure out if there is a difference. This is Day Drinking on Delmarva.
I am Todd from GoodCleanFunLife.com.
And I'm Tony Russo, no relation, and you're listening to Day Drinking on Delmarva, a podcast about life and culture on the Delmarva Peninsula. Todd drinks because he gets to live here, and why are you drinking this week?
Opening weekend.
Yeah, and I drink because I have to live here. I got pulled over in a huge sting, and those are just part of all of the fun stories that we'll be telling as we go on this episode. Yes, it's a new beginning. I mean, it's a new introduction, so that's how it goes. We'll figure it out.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You sprung that on me, too.
I realized as I opened my mouth that that's not what I was supposed to be doing, but I like it. So we'll keep it. We'll see if it works next week.
I like that. It's a hook, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's important to have.
Each week we are sponsored by a company that we like. It's a local company, and this week it is Good Clean Fun Life Productions. That is you, Todd.
GCFL Productions started as a blog site on St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Oh, happy anniversary.
15 years ago.
Ming.
And guess what we did to celebrate our anniversary, our big 15-year anniversary?
You went to the Ocean City St. Patrick's Day Parade.
No, the same thing we've done every year for the past 10 years. We did that the first five. In the past 10 years, we've had opening weekend at the Starboard. Creating content is what we do. We enjoy, we love, we have a passion for. There seems to be a whole slew of things that are kind of coming back, and we've been at it for a while. And I would say if you're going to hire somebody, you should hire somebody who's been at it for a while. When
there you go.
When there are other folks that are out there that do similar stuff, and there's a lot of work to go around. I'm very proud of the work that we've done over the past 15 years and how we've grown and that sort of thing. But I always remember a good friend of mine, every time somebody new pops on the scene, it's his comment is always, well, are they going to be around in a year?
Right.
And, you know, at some point, and maybe now we can start saying established in, right? Like,
yeah.
I
always get a kick out of it. Sometimes business will put them up like after 3 years. And I'm like, well, yeah, fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, if unless you're going to buy a new sign every year, yeah, you may as well. But established in, you know, 2010, that was goofy in 2011. It's less goofy now. So, yeah, no, absolutely. One of the things, though, if I can compliment you and kind of build on what you were saying about people, you know, not doing it for a long time. When you're doing something for long enough, it's beyond knowing what you're doing because you're a professional, because that's kind of a given. You also aren't afraid to jump on new things, but know you have seen firsthand how transitory social media and, mm-hmm. you know, digital advertising has been. I mean,
yeah,
you started with the beginning of digital advertising and you've been through all of the different changes, and this is the new thing, and now it's video, and now it's audio, and now it's video, and now it's print, you know. Yeah. And you have a sense of, okay, well, let's see how this works out, but you're not going to double down on every you're like, how would you feel going out today saying I'm a TikTok influencer and we're going to go big on TikTok, and then you hear, yeah, well, if there's not TikTok next week, what's plan B?
Right. Exactly, which is part of the reason we always mention that why we do this podcast, right? Just to be on a different platform. You know, I probably should pay attention a little bit more. I do enjoy Gary V. You know, you can only listen to him so much because he's very loud.
Mm.
like you. But I think it's one of those things where he's always kind of preaching the positivity and trying new things and being as many places as you can without, you know, spreading yourself too thin, because we live in the attention economy and there's lots of places to get attention. When we talked last, we're gonna I'm intending in the next couple you know, next quarter, next couple months to focus a little bit more on the Substack stuff. I think that is, you know, worthy of sharing and spreading. And I might even start putting some videos up, and, you know, just because that's where my wheelhouse is. And we can, you know, that's just another platform where people can pay attention, where we can garner some attention. And yeah, and that is us. Also, I was going to say this because it happened this week. When you've been doing it for 15 years, you feel like you have the confidence that not every single, you know, project or every single client or every single proposal has to go through. And, you know, and sometimes if a client and service don't match, you just got to call it what it is and amicably part ways. And that happened to us. Somebody, we tried something new, it didn't work out because of a variety of reasons, but most was expectations. And we're like, you know what, I think we're good, and you're going to be good too. So we'll leave it at that.
We wouldn't know if we didn't try.
Yeah, exactly. How many commercials do you hear a business say? It's like, hey, if we don't work, we're not going to work.
You know what? One of the things that in my day job at doing the funeral kind of stuff, there is a lot of the people who do the digital really do take that approach. You know, like we think we're the best company. But we know that part of being the best company is realizing you're not the right fit for everybody. So we'll give it a shot. But if it's not going to work, we're not going to take your money if we can't help you. You know, and that is, you know, and then someone's looking for recommendations. They, you know, you can still get recommended off of something like that. Like, yeah, they tried this. It didn't work. And they were like, all right, well, it didn't work. You know, we're not going to keep taking your money until it starts working. You know, right. And that's a decent way to do business, and it's something worth, you know, being proud of. Mm-hmm. You mentioned opening weekend, so let's start there. How was opening weekend?
Okay, opening weekend was a tremendous success. If you're not familiar,
on the outside chance, opening weekend is all of the bars in the whole region kind of pick St. Patrick's Day as their first, like some. Some will be open all the time and some will be open every weekend, but lots of places that weren't open the weekend before will be open from now until October.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's always, you know, there is still a little bit of an, you know, off season. And especially January, February, where a lot of people take time to, you know, make the renovations, get a break. If you're an owner or something like that, or, you know, a year-round employee, take your vacation. And opening weekend, the Starboard in particular in Dewey Beach was one of those places that for years and years would you know, pack up, close a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, and it would be a dust bowl in Dewey until the weekend around St. Patrick's Day. And then, hang on. And then I thought I had a sneeze coming. I was reaching for the mute button, but it subsided. But then, of course, you know, more people move down. Things become more year round. The Starboard has been year round for probably, in earnest, the last 10 years. I mean, you know, when we started, it would shut down to the smallest part of the restaurant that would stay open on Thursdays through Sundays. But more and more, more year round. So now we say, you know, celebrating the tradition of opening weekend, and it does coincide with a very festive St. Patrick's Day, which I feel like I want to make the comment that I feel like St. Patrick's Day has in recent years, and this year in particular with social media, has gotten a little bit more hate than it has in the past. You know, I think, people calling it, you know, amateur day, or, you know, calling it gross, or call it like, and I just have I take a little bit of issue with that when, you know, we're in a world where there's so much division and there's so much, you know, negative stuff. It's like, let's not take something that has historically in cities all over been a celebration of culture and fun and, yes, a lot of drinking. And it, like, I think, you know, one of those good, clean, fun, items that we still have. And, you know, you can hate on it if you're not a drinker, or, I mean, certainly if you're in the service industry and you have to deal with, a very tough weekend. But, you know, like you always say, drink what you like and be happy. You know, don't rain on my parade.
I'm not like a super, super ethno guy, but I am Irish. Like I do have, and I'm not just, we've been celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Like we have a special dinner and we have special food that mm-hmm. we make. And yes, we always make sure there's, if we don't have whiskey in the house, we make sure that we get whiskey in the house for St. Patrick's Day. That was something that I think I added because my mother's, you know, not a huge drinker. But you know, like when I was in school, we would wear green carnations to school. We would mm-hmm. have green cupcakes, and then we would have corned beef and cabbage for dinner, and we would make Irish soda bread. And it was just, it's a celebration. It's a cultural celebration.
Right.
But we were Catholic and we were in New Jersey, and there was, you know, there was that kind of expectation. It's like getting corned beef there is like getting a turkey before Thanksgiving. Like if you wait till March 14th, you might not have.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be able to have a corned beef to boil with your take a $70 piece of meat and just boil the living fuck out of it with potatoes and cabbage. That'll do.
Yeah.
So it is a cultural thing, and it's a particularly American cultural thing. Mm-hmm. From a time when there was violence against the Irish, and they won't let you forget it because they're certainly not.
Right.
So, you know, there is, if people don't want to see, you know, the dyed rivers or go to the parades, they're welcome to not. I mean, I'll live and die and never see the Macy's Thanksgiving parade. I think it's dumb, but I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so dumb that I think no one should do it. I just think it's so dumb that I'm never going to do it, you know?
Right. Right.
Or any parade. I'm a parade hater. We've gone over this before several mm-hmm. times in the past, right? People are always like, you don't like parades. I'm like, no one likes parades. People go to parades and they're like, parade.
Yeah. Well, the Starboard does it especially well. It's not a parade. It's just a, you know, a 3-day celebration with bands and music. And they bring in some, of the local kids that actually go to the Irish dance, school. And yeah. And like, so like, I don't know, it's kind of fun on a Sunday morning, you know, when you got all these kids out there, they've been working all year and this is like their moment, and they have a huge crowd. Now, granted, a number of the people are there not knowing that these kids are there, but they're on the stage and they're dancing. And, you know, like between that and like having a father-son duo that are bagpipers, you know, work their way through the whole crowd, through the entire bar and down the line that's wrapped around the block is, I don't know, it's something pretty fantastic in my opinion.
I'm a huge fan, and that is a good reason to drink. I treated myself to some Redbreast this year, and if I haven't endorsed Redbreast before, I don't know where it came from. It's a recent import.
Okay.
I think my brother brought it back from Ireland a couple years ago, like several, like maybe a decade. And then all of a sudden last year, or the year before, I was in a store and I saw it, and Redbreast is an expensive Irish whiskey. It is worth the price of admission. It might be like a $60 bottle, which is more than you're used to paying for Irish whiskey. You know, Tullamore Dew is going to be a $40 bottle or whatever, Jameson's $30 bottle or whatever. But it's very, very, very good. And it's very, very smooth. And I quite enjoy it. And, you know, even though I've cut back on the drinking, I absolutely treated myself to a cigar and to a whiskey. But the reason that I needed to drink because I lived here is because I was caught up in a... So some scumbag on Brown Road in Salisbury, where I hope there's a nuclear toxic waste spilled, complained that everyone drives fast on my street. And so one day last week, when we were all going to pick people up from school, there were four state troopers lined up just pulling people over like it was Worcester County. It was so disgusting. And I wasn't just mean to the police. I was vicious. And, you know, everybody's like, why? I'm like, you know what? It's my white privilege. I'm going to wear my white privilege like a badge until they take it away from me. And so I was vicious to this cop, and I'm glad I was, because as it turned out, my license was suspended.
Oh.
And my license, the cop told me, and I confirmed this later when I got it unsuspended, has been suspended since 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been pulled over in about six states, just not Maryland. I've been pulled over in Delaware. I've been pulled over in Virginia twice. I've been pulled over in Montana. I've been pulled over in Idaho. I've been pulled over in Michigan. And I've been pulled over in Illinois. That's seven. Yeah. States I've been pulled over. I've rented a car in Maryland. I've rented two trucks in Maryland, and I've registered a car in Maryland, and I've unregistered a car in Maryland. I've handed the lady at DMV my driving license at least three times since 2019.
Sure.
They just didn't check to see if it was a good license, because I guess that's not what I was there for. Really bizarre. Right. But anyway, so I was fuming.
What was it suspended for?
Oh, I owed Delaware $100 in an unpaid parking ticket from 1,000 years ago. Like that, that must have just slipped off my, because I like to send, I enjoy, because I always put, you know, motherfucker or something on the bottom in the middle. just to make things a little worse, you know, for whoever mail that day. You know, you're part of the system. If you don't like it, get a better job. Nobody sends me checks that say motherfucker, but I don't ruin anybody's life every day. So,
so anyway, you were furious at the
I was furious at the pulling over at the. I don't like that. If you catch someone who's speeding, it's your duty to pull them over. But if you go out and there's six of you just standing there snickering, and you're pulling over 15, 20 people. You know, who are just trying to live their lives. It's $130 a pop. These are kids. These are literally everyone's going to pick their kids up from school, you know, and it's just a shitty, shitty thing to do. And if I can brag, by the way, the state of New Jersey at one point set up a roadblock on St. Patrick's Day in my hometown. The police got. Just to give you an idea of where I come from. The police got a message from the state that said, you know, we need a check here. You know, we want you to, you know what they do when they pull everybody over. Everybody has to stop.
Right.
And chief of police said on St. Patrick's Day, that's not fair. I'm not doing it.
I mean,
we need more police like that. You know what?
Yeah.
Who's going to go after their neighbors? It's shitty to go after your neighbors just to go after your neighbors to make some politician feel better.
Right.
And these are all the things I'm taking out on the cop. So he's like, you know, you can't drive. You don't have a license. What are you going to do? And I'm like, well, you know, I'll call my wife and I'll have her pick me up. And he's like, you're going to wait here? I'm like, no, I don't want to look at you anymore. I'm going to walk home. And so I got out of my car. And I walked about 200 yards down the block, and I stood in the middle of the road, and I waved my hands in the air, and I slowed down every vehicle that came for about 20 minutes. And then the cop.
Oh, there's got to be video. Somebody had to film video of the crazy guy in Del Mar flagging people down.
Yeah, it was in Salisbury.
Salisbury.
But it did inspire me, and I'm going to get a sign and put it in the back of my car that says speed trap ahead. And when I see a speed trap, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to spend 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just waving people down and saying, speed trap ahead, please stop. Speed trap ahead, please stop. Please slow down.
Yes.
Speed trap ahead. And that will make me feel so much better. Because I've got to say, as furious as I was, and he gave me tickets that I didn't deserve. He gave me a lot of fuck you tickets. Like, I have one ticket, it's $600 for driving without a license, right? And now I'm not going to have to pay that ticket. I'm just going to have to go to court and say, I didn't drive without a license. And I'll have to pay a $15 court costs or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm going to cost the state of Maryland $1 million at least before I die. And
slow it down.
I cannot wait. It's I'm going to start doing it Fridays. You know, Fridays on my way to pick up my grandson from kindergarten. I'll probably go early because they always have those speed traps down there in Worcester County. I'll come out and I'll go about a half a mile north of Berlin. Get out my little sign.
Speed trap ahead.
And the cops will be like, we haven't caught one person all day. Anyway, so that's why I drink, because I get attacked by the police. So I mentioned. Go ahead.
We need more. We need more police like your brother. The Jersey. The Jersey chip.
I mean, I think that now I'll tell you what. I make fun of Del Mar a lot, and I make fun of Del Mar cops a lot. And oftentimes they deserve it. But, you know, it's also me just being mean, because I've got to say, I have never gotten a ticket from a town cop. And that's important. You shouldn't get I roll a stop sign here. I roll a stop sign there. They're like, hey, don't roll stop signs. And like, all right, fine. You know, and I've only been pulled over twice in Del Mar in the last 30 years. Because the other thing, I drive nice in town. Like, that's the best thing. This is your town. You drive nice in it. And if you make a mistake, we won't give you a ticket for it. That's fair. You know, I'm not doing 50 in a 25.
Right.
So in the spirit of being honest for just a second, the Del Mar cops have never given me a ticket, and they could have. But I'm in town, and that's the way it should be. Like, they should look. And that's in New Jersey. That's how it is. They look at if you're not doing 100 in a 25, and they look at your driving license and you're within, you know, 10 miles of home, you're not getting a ticket. You know? Now I get tickets all the time because I'm not from there anymore. But they don't pull me over in New Jersey because I only go 90 and everyone else is going 95. That's the other thing.
Makes sense.
I can't drive fast enough. My car doesn't go fast enough to get a ticket.
I was going to say, right? I'm Fred Flintstone.
So I didn't do a history thing this week because I wanted to talk a little bit about a history project that I'm starting and you're probably starting to, maybe, if whether or not you know it, you're invited to help me start it and we'll go from there. I got a message from Andrew Sharp, who used to be the editor of the Delaware Independent, which was a paper for about a year on Substack. And he said, hey, look, you're famous. And a book came out called Lost Delaware or something like that. And it was, they had excerpted one of my stories from, I wrote a story about this old hotel that had been lost for him. And then he, I guess they used it, they got permission from him to use it in the book, and he got a copy of the book and he sent me a picture of it. And I went to the page. There are 1,000 books like this. And of course there are. And Steffi and I used to interview the authors, like, you know, how did you come to write the book? Steffi and I used to do that writing podcast where we're talking about why they wrote the book. But there are all of these people who have written all of these histories of Delmarva and histories of sections of Delmarva. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a Destination Delmarva story podcast, like tell me one story from your book and why people should buy your book. It could be 20 minutes long, it could be half an hour long, and they can tell us a story. The thing is, I don't really care. So I was wondering, not that I don't care, but there, I don't know a lot of the history, and you know, I don't have the same kind of affinity. And I thought that we could do, that might be something we could do together, have three of us on. It doesn't have to be video. It could just be audio, or it could also be video. And if we can, you know, pick a time where it's convenient for them, it wouldn't be weekly. It wouldn't be monthly. It would be now and again. We'd find someone and we'd talk to them about whatever one thing that came from their book. I mean, there's Brent Lewis, who's actually a friend of mine. Do you know Brent Lewis?
I don't think.
He's written a bunch of books. He's written like, I don't know, like four or five legitimate books. Like, he's an award-winning author. He's published by the same people published me, Secret Publishing. And last one he did was Stardust by the Bushel, I think. And it was a story of all of the Hollywood people, Hollywood on Delmarva kind of book. So it was a collection of stories about Delmarva Hollywood people.
That's interesting.
Oh yeah, I know. There's so many.
I mean, there is some history, right? I mean, that's the thing is, and you never, I still tell the story about the chicken festival and Purdue being a judge and chicken nuggets being, you know, invented. Like that, you know what I mean?
No, it's cool stuff.
That's worldwide. That's worldwide. And it started right here in Salisbury.
Yeah, so I think maybe if we would like to look at early April or mid-April or sometime in April, maybe just see if we can find a guest, see if we can find a time that works for everybody. And just do that, you know, once a month, once every now and again, when the mood strikes us, and we can put it on that same stream where we have this, we could put it on the same Substack where we have Day Drinking on Delmarva. And every time we add a podcast, which you can do it so that this podcast is just about that. And you subscribe to everything, you can subscribe to just this.
Yeah.
And that way we can, I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I think it would be a way to build our audience, and it would be a way to take advantage of the fact that we're doing all of these crazy podcasts and we have for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I think you're always like, I tell you stories and you're like, oh really? Why? You know? And, and so since you're good at that and you have these insights that you can add, I thought it'd be fun for the two of us to do it.
Okay.
So anyway, throw that on the burner and see how you feel about that. And last but not least from me, and I'll talk about it more next week, hopefully. I told you I'm doing a project on my own Substack, Tony Russo, actually at buytonyrusso.com or buytonyrusso.com. I added a project that I'm doing that I'm calling Return to Sender. And we've talked about this before, I think. I collect all these old postcards. And I'm sending them back to the addresses that they were originally sent from, and then sending the letter. And the letter says, hey, here's a postcard. It's a gift from me to you. If you can tell me anything about this postcard or about the people that got it or about the people who used to live there, I would love to know. And if not, that's cool. And I send them, you know, a link to, you know, my website. Like, I wrote a book. I'm a legitimate.
Yeah.
I'm not a creepy. Yeah. It's really hard to get a letter at your home with details about your life from a total stranger and not.
Yeah.
And so I send a long letter, a longish letter to kind of try to soften the blow. Like, I'm not crazy. I mean, I'm doing this kind of kooky project. I got my first response.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got my first response from a young woman who is actually a journalism major.
Oh, funny.
At a college by where I grew up.
What a coincidence.
And she's like, I would love to talk to you about this, but I'm leaving the country and I'll be back on March 24th or whatever. She'll be back this weekend. So hopefully this weekend we can speak and maybe I'll record something. But you remember there was this famous or apocryphal, you know, story about Ernest Hemingway writing the saddest story in just, you know, three words, you know, baby's used, for sale, never used, or whatever, you know what I'm talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right.
So the one story that she blessed me with, she had heard from her parents and the people who used to live in the house where she grew up, the people mm-hmm. to whom this original postcard was sent, got too old to use the stairs and had to move to like a nearby like retirement home.
Right. But
the old man used to drive by the house every Sunday and just look to see how the house was doing. And
yeah,
it's beautiful and sad. And, you know, it's just
yeah,
fun. Yeah. So anyway, I'll be writing about that on the return to sender thing. If anybody wants to just subscribe to return to sender, you can do that. And you'll see how if you go to.
I love that. I mean, you know, living in a 100-plus-year-old house, we have had a couple people that have come by and dropped a note in the door and said, like, we knew the Mary Humphreys and, you know, she'd be so happy with your garden, you know, garden
great.
Up front. So it's, you know, it's very forward. So, but yeah, no, that sort of thing is, that sort of thing is pretty great. And if the person who got back to you is a journalism major, maybe you have like a internship possibility to help you with it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, she actually said, I have to interview someone who's a working reporter. So
so there's a trade-off already.
Yeah. It's a quid pro quo. She's like, yeah, I could tell you, but yeah. I have this project due at school first.
Oh, so, funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
So well, that for us for now, but we will be back next week with next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be back next week. We will not be back next week unless we record on Wednesday, which we'll talk about in a second. But for now, I got nothing else. How about you?
I got nothing.
All right. Remember next time, until next time at the beach,
it's happier whenever you say it is.
All right, cheers.